Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool are taking on Brighton at the Amex Stadium this weekend. I am Paul Machin, I'm joined by Steve Plunkett and John Machin for this one. Dad, I haven't done a show with you for yonks.
Hello.
This is great. What's weird, by the way, because we're doing this live Thursday morning amid the chaos of all the breaking news around Roman Abramovich sanctions and Chelsea are going to not be able to have like sell tickets or sell merchandise and sell hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. So sitting here and talking about our Liverpool versus Brighton game feels mad. I will be sitting down with Neil Jones. We're live streaming 2 p.m. on Redmen Plus with the weekly Journo Insight show. And I asked Neil, I said, look, any chance we can just talk about Roman Abramovich and Chelsea? And he said, yep. So Neil is getting up to date with all of that stuff. So we want to get some real insight into what's going on there and what it could mean to Chelsea. Come and join me over on Redmen Plus this afternoon and beyond for that in video and later on the day in podcast form as well. We will try our best until then to talk about Brighton Liverpool, because that Brighton game at Anfield, one of the biggest stains really on our campaign so far, to have thrown it away in the way that we did. If Liverpool don't win the league title, or if they lose it out by a handful of points, I think there's a couple of games that will be the standout ones. It'll be Brentford away and it will be Brighton at home.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I mean, Brighton don't score goals except against us.
Yeah.
The only teams they score against are in the bottom two or three, yeah, apart from us.
Yeah.
And why that is, I just don't know. Let's hope it doesn't occur again at the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not as good a team as they were. They seem to have gone off the boil. It's as if the players have said, well, we played all this lovely football, still doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah.
Because we've got no strikers.
Yeah.
Except against Liverpool.
Yes, of course. Well, there's a bit to that. You have that in the psychology of sides, and I'm not going to sit here and write Brighton off because it'd be foolish to do so, because we've seen how much they can have the ability to hurt. Yeah, it feels like they're in a horrible run of form. Absolutely horrendous. And they're losing to teams that really, like, I can't quite fathom how they are where they are in the league. I mean, at the moment, they are 13th in the table. A win against us could take them up as high as 9th. Mm-hmm. A defeat would do nothing because they've got a nice, comfy 5-point buffer, although Newcastle do have a game in hand, so it could start to creep up on them, of course. But, they are... I just don't really know where to place them, really, and I agree. There might be that psychological point where, as my dad kind of points out there, you had this a bit with Leicester. It's like you start to feel like, well, this is the best we'll do. We can go and win. The way they don't have the capability of battering teams because they don't have the goals in them. So there's a limit to how successful Brighton really can be.
Yeah, I think the reason why, referencing John's point there, I think the reason why they do well against us is because they're both front foot teams. Brighton don't sit back. Brighton play their brand of football, so they come at you. So we've talked about this before. Against Liverpool, against Chelsea, against Manchester City, you have to be brave. Brighton are brave every game. They play on the front foot. Yeah. They play with that, you know, expansive midfielders who want to create chances. They don't take them, but they create them. So they spend a lot of time with the ball and a lot of time asking you questions. But, you know, we're good enough to go there and get the result, aren't we? The Anfield game will be on the mind of the players and the staff, and it'll been spoken about this week.
Yeah.
And I think what's really important is controlling the game, because against a team like Brighton, if you don't control the game, this is what we saw. You referenced it at the start of the show. We gave points away against them because we surrendered control of the midfield.
Yeah.
So it's really, really critical that the team selection, which we'll get onto, the midfield caters for that for me.
Yeah, it's just looking at the recent form for them. Obviously, they lost to Newcastle 2-1 at the weekend, 2-0. They lost to Villa at home the weekend before. They lost 3-0 to Burnley.
Wow.
They lost, I mean, for God's sake, they lost 2-0 to Manchester United. They beat Watford prior to that, but they've only actually beaten Watford, West Brom and Everton in 2022, Dad. So I think to Steve's point, I'm a bit wary of this attitude of we should win, yada, 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 but we should win, yada, yada.
We're Liverpool, of course, so teams do play better against us. They raise their game. It's some kind of badge of honour.
Yeah.
And therefore, if they play to their best form, they'll give us a good game because they're good footballers, good footballing team, well organised. You know, and as Steve said, you know, they play on the front foot. They do create chances. And our luck, they'll take a couple of them, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can outgun them. And after the other night, I can't believe we won't score goals.
Yeah.
We can't keep on missing them like we did the other night. It's just unfathomable as a concept. It doesn't compute.
Yeah.
Or, you know, missing more chances.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. Just to stick with you on that one, is you're right. I think there's a little bit of, I don't know, just there's a tinge of negativity that's come from the midweek game at Inter Milan. And I think there's just that thing of nobody likes to see Liverpool not win a football match and obviously not, and hitting the post a couple of times.
I didn't like to see us lose our home record, you know.
Yeah.
That annoyed me, particularly when we were throwing chances away.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, people are saying Inzaghi's a master genius tactician, and they needed to beat us by 3 goals, and they had one shot in the whole game that I can remember.
Mm.
So what kind of tactics are they?
Yeah.
They didn't come to try and win the game 3-0. They came to try and show that they were as good a team as we are, which is different. It's not the right tactic for a game when you're 2-0 down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, 2-0's the worst score you can possibly have. I hate it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know whether to attack and you don't know whether to defend.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm happy we got through to the next round. Fine.
It does feel a little bit like that. I think that's spot on there, Steve, is that we really know what to do. So Liverpool's game plan was to kind of just scratch 45 minutes off the board, which we did, and then have a go, 45 minutes, OK, Sam, we'll do whatever we want to do in that 45 minutes, and when the goals don't go in, it does feel a little bit worse. It just feels, I know, it's hard to sort of place this, but we've not been great. We've not been in great form, but we have. Our form is astonishing. You know, we haven't lost games of football, you know, basically at all this year up until that one. So it's a very weird way to feel about it, because West Ham was a little bit more of a struggle. I think we certainly would have hoped it would have been. The League Cup final, haven't gone deep all the way to keeper pens, is a thing as well. And then you know, there's the Inter Milan thing to add into this. It would be nice, I think, for everyone's psyche if this was a game where Liverpool just went and did a 2-0 or a 3-0 and had it be largely sewn up, really.
Well, it's a game that the fans want us to pass the eye test. And this time of the season, the eye test isn't important, it's the results. You know, and we're now in the business end of the season. So I would agree, we've not been playing brilliantly in terms of our attacking endeavours in the last 2 or 3 games. We beat Norwich well because Norwich were dreadful, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We've not hit that form. And it is a little bit of a concern. And if you look at the ratings of the players from the midweek game, it's the final third where we struggled. Mm-hmm. We went into that game very passive for me. It was kind of, do we stick or do we bust? And you end up doing neither of those things.
Yep.
And then you just kind of, like you say, scratch around for 45 minutes. And then to change the mental psychology of a team that's got itself into that mindset is really, really difficult. You have to go into the game focused on your job and execute it.
Yeah, I suppose, just to swing it back, Mo Salah takes one of those chances
exactly
that he hits the post with, which, let's be honest, he just normally does. It's not an issue. Matip is six inches lower, you know, with his head there.
No, right at the death when Robbo didn't get across him, and that's all he had to do is put
and
the ball.
Beat one man,
isn't he? Yeah, and he doesn't do it. I mean, that's not really us. I mean, it's odd that we've hit this sort of famine up front when just after we signed Diaz, when we were all thinking, oh, we're going to score a bagful now.
Yeah.
Now that we've got him. But of course, Bobby's not been fit, and people underestimate how much he does for that side.
Yeah, there's this notion that Bobby Firmino's done, Jota's the answer, Jota's the future. But like, particularly those midweek games, you know, when you just want someone to just do something a little bit different, just to shake things up.
And of course, Jota, you know, he's not in great form at the moment either. It's really unusual for him not to score, because he's that kind of a forward.
Yeah.
But he's not looked like scoring.
He looks like a player that, coming back from injury, is going to take half a dozen games to hit the straps, as it were. Yeah. So, and that's dangerous if you're in the position we're in. So, you know, right now, crying out for Bobby to be back, because the link play was missing against Inter Milan. The figure in the middle of the park that sewed it all together wasn't there. And we played a very left-sided player on the right side of our central midfield. And Curtis Jones didn't have a bad game. Mm-hmm. But what it did do is it affected the balance of the team for me. You know, I thought he'd get the ball and he would turn inside so he could use his left foot. Mm-hmm. When on the right-hand side, it's all about it being expansive down that channel and getting Mo involved, isn't it? So it's only a small thing, but I think it affected our balance just a little bit. But, you know, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's kind of the mission here, is to just tick on, really. And we have been, because I find it such a weird period of the season to analyse that it's unprecedented, really. And certainly for us doing what we're doing, Liverpool have never been this good before. And then just in terms of how deep we are in competitions, really, we haven't been this deep since, I think, like 1983. So there's actually a point where, in my lifetime, Liverpool have never actually been at this kind of good before. And I guess we forget sometimes that the treble season was a bit like this in 2001, where there's the point where if you're going to win everything, you're going to have to accept that the way in which you win is probably not going to be what you're living up to. Whereas if you go and put all your eggs into one basket, you can give all your attention, you can, you know, like 2013-14, Liverpool are brilliant in the league because they don't have any Europe to think about. When your season falls away in a variety of different places, you can go gung-ho on the FA Cup, you can go gung-ho on the Champions League, or you can go one or the other. There might be a thing of which, yeah, we might have, the rest of the season might end up being a little bit like, it's a lot of single goal
victories. It's unrealistic to think that you can go and play expansive football and win every game 4-0 just because we've got that kind of a team. Mm-hmm. The fact is, the players feel the tension as well. Yeah. They're going out knowing they can't afford to lose in the league. In fact, they can't even afford to draw. They've got to win those games. So you're not taking chances, you know, and you don't play with such a freedom. It does, you know, tense up. And then you do rely on your forwards to take the odd chance when it comes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be like that till the end of the season. We're going to struggle in some games and we're going to grind out results. And that's what champions do.
And to the point, though, Brighton, not a bad opponent to have in this regard, because you look at who the teams we have struggled against, given that Liverpool, you know, come out on top in all of them, whether it's the fixture or the tie. Chelsea, very well organised, very well disciplined side. Three at the back, looking to stifle what you do. You look at the Inter Milan side, as you mentioned there, again, another team who expended their energies trying to stop Liverpool doing what Liverpool do. And West Ham, similar. You know, David Moyes has built a career on being solid, being resolute, and they had a little bit of quality to kind of cause us a couple of stresses up top as well. Coming to Brighton actually might be a nice freer. You know, they might be able to come out into this one with a bit more added motivation because of that game earlier in the season. Actually,
game the other night, I think that will motivate the forwards. Yeah. You know, they know we lost because they didn't take their chances.
Yeah.
And I think Mo, for instance, that his comment about, well, I hit the post twice, maybe next time I'll score a hat-trick. I think he might well score a hat-trick. You know, that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing that Liverpool have got going on at the moment as well, because you mentioned since Diaz come in, and Diaz has looked brilliant, but one thing that he is he's still earning his stripes. I don't think, as much as when he's left to his own devices, you can see how wonderful a player he is, but when he's left with a decision point, and that decision point is, do I pass to one of the other established lads or do I take it on myself, I still think he's being caught between two stools a bit. And the great example being that run against West Ham, where if it's Sadio Mane running ahead of him or no one running ahead of him, he probably just clean takes it on himself. But there's a little indecision, I think, that creeps into his mind of, is it my job to make sure Mo Salah gets the goal in this circumstance? And that's a little thing where he's taken along nicely. But yeah, it's and again, even like Jota to some extent, Jota's come in and he's been great. But going back to the Bobby Firmino point, the established front three know each other inside and out, and then there's degrees down the pecking order when the game is tight and fine margins are going to make the big difference. We have undercut what we do, even though you might argue we've improved the quality of player.
And he's been at the club 6 weeks, so let's be right. The Liverpool system is a complex one, and everyone has a multitude of things to do to make it work.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a maverick at the moment in that system. He's capable of the unexpected, because the defenders in the league don't know what he's capable of. They don't know what he's about, so they can't plan for him. But we're more fluid when we put the more experienced three or four in there. You know, you can include Jota in that conversation now because he's been with us long enough to know his role in the side. And, you know, I'm still very much Team Bobby in terms of building play and doing things at the right time and where you come and get the ball and then who you give it to. You're quite right. I think Diaz at the moment, is a question to say, is he trying too hard?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically, he's up against Mane and Jota for that left side front three.
Yeah. There'll come a point, won't he, where he'll feel totally part of everything that we're doing and he won't second guess anything that he does. And we're going to have an absolute beast on our hands once again. We are going to take a very short break. We've got a super chat before we do from Conor McMullen. So it's exciting that we are still in the run to win every cup. Last night was a weird one, but going through is all that matters. Yeah, exactly. And that was the point with the Inter Milan stuff, is that Klopp kind of mentioned it about, like, you're going to lose games of football. Best to lose them when they don't really matter. That's the beauty. We've done this in seasons gone by where the Champions League group stage has been a good chance for us to kind of shake things out a little bit and work out where the flaws in what we do are without it harming any of the endeavours you're going for.
And fans who are unhappy should thank the Lord that Sanchez got sent off, because that last 15 minutes would have been horrible if he hadn't been.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely that. Get your comments and anything we discuss. If you want to send any messages in to us, whether you're a club legend and you've got the Discord open in front of you over there, you can get the questions in, or the YouTube live comments, of course, and we'll read through some of the best ones at the back end of the show. But we are going to take a very short break. Trivia question to tide you over until we get back. Name the two most recent Liverpool players to play for Brighton.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Sound. I asked the question, who are the two most recent Liverpool players to play for Brighton and Hove Albion, both of them. It didn't take you long, you just threw this one out there, didn't you?
Yeah, there's been seven in total, and the last two were Adam Lallana and João Teixeira.
João Teixeira was the tricky one in that one, so yeah, well done if you obviously knew Lallana. If you didn't know Lallana, then like there was nothing down for you in that one. But yeah, we were going through.
Even I knew Lallana.
Yeah. We were going through some of the more random ones, and you mentioned that there, Jimmy Case, Mark Lawrenson, Hector Lawson back in 1896. Everyone got that one right. Bobby Marshall, 1876. Woo.
Wow.
Alan Navarro, of course, of youth team 2001.
Jimmy Mee became their manager.
Tom Robertson, Michael Robinson, Dean Saunders, Alex South, and João Carlos Teixeira, along with Adam Lallana, who for some reason LFC history have yet to add to that list. Let's talk about the Reds and what we're doing here. Just kind of following the conversation on from pre-break there, Dad. Where I've generally come to the understanding of this section of the season now, this is like, it's all just prep at the moment. And it's weird because it makes it sound like these games aren't important. These games that we're playing now are more important than any other football matches, because look, at some point in the future, we might be at another couple of finals and we might be at a last day shootout with Man City for the title. But if we don't win these games, then we won't be. It's as Absolutely. Simple as that. But that means that we're in the grind. That's where we're at. This is just about, it's not about performance. It's not about anything. This is, when we won the title, this is a bit like what it was like in November and December, when we just went about winning and we got a lot of late wins and whatever. This is the time where Liverpool just need to kind of do that.
Yeah, you grind out results. And City will be doing the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they, if you look at them, when they've won the title, they weren't winning their games 5-6-0 at the end of the season. They were getting, you remember that famous 1-0 against Leicester at home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the kind of results you need.
Eyes to heaven. Yeah.
They're the kind of results you need if you want to win the championship. And we've got to do that to, so that when we get to the game at the Etihad, we're still in that hunt.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we lose a couple of games between, you know, that game will just be irrelevant.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're playing for. But actually more short-term than that, Steve. Our game in hand is Arsenal in midweek. And that's the point where you want to walk out of the Emirates 3 points behind Manchester City, minimum. You know, that's what you're aiming for. And then hopefully you've then got a clean run all the way to the Etihad when you play them, and that have that game matter. But that's what we're playing for now. We're not playing for a trophy. We're not playing for an open top right here and right now. We're playing for the right to challenge Man City for the title. Yep. And that's an awkward mentality to be in, because it's kind of the point I was driving up before, is that if we're top of the league, we're talking about that West Ham win at the week last weekend as title winning form.
Yeah.
But because we're in the chase, we would all probably feel loads more relaxed about it if Liverpool could just get back to the swing of winning comfortably. But realistically, as I say, we need to set our expectations at, and it's 3 points by hook or by crook. If Liverpool surprise us and we get some marvellous moments in between, then that is wonderful, but it's not important.
And it's human factor. At the end of the day, you can do what you want on the training ground. You can sit in the analyst room and talk about what the other team do. But once the game starts, you don't know how those 11 players are going to react. It's difficult to do this. I think the best case scenario would be results go our way and we go to the Etihad and we're not in a position where we have to win that game. It would be nice to sort of know that you could draw it and all bets are still on for the rest of the season in terms of the league. But you're right, it's about... There's a famous saying in football, you have to earn the right. We have to earn the right to think about having an open bus parade. And the only way we do that is by winning our games and getting to a position where the Etihad becomes massive. It'd be a huge, huge, one of our biggest games in our history, given where we are and what we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's get the games out of the way. And by the way, going to the Emirates to play Arsenal at the moment isn't going to be an easy task because they're playing well.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be in a position to do that than not.
Yeah, no, 100% on that. And as it stands, a fully fit squad to pick from as well. I can't think of anything that bad happened in midweek. Klopp was talking about this ahead of the Inter Milan game, Dad. And I guess we're still in that point, and this goes back to the whole staging area stuff. There's probably a couple of lads who just need to play some football if we're going to use them. There's clearly like your Divock Origis and your Taki Minaminos who are less essential. They'll get their minutes when we need them to get minutes down the line at some point, so the FA Cup will be their time. I mean,
for
against
me,
Forest.
The guys who you have to consider for game time are Harvey Elliott and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
You know, that they haven't been getting enough minutes recently. But and it's just a question of picking your games. So, and it'll only be one of them at the most.
Yeah.
They may still not play.
Yeah.
But there really is only one spot up for grabs for those lads.
Yeah.
Because Henderson, Thiago and Fabinho are going to take up two of the three, yes, I would think, in every game we play now.
Yeah.
So there's only one spot left.
Yeah. I wonder whether this is a game where we see, because we've been rotating out of necessity for Thiago. He's been injured. But Henderson and Fabinho, we've been definitely making a concerted effort to rotate them more in the last couple of weeks, because that'll be an essential thing to keeping them both fit and firing. I wonder, Steve, whether this is a game where Hendo goes back into the six, gives Fabinho a little bit of a rest and a breather in this one, and that does maybe open up an opportunity to open up two spots in the midfield to get some lads in, and gives you another 60 minutes of Thiago, another 30 minutes of Naby, or, you know, again, because at this point Curtis Jones could probably do with another game, because he just seems to be finding a little bit of form off the back of not even being in the matchday squads. But I think my dad's spot on there. Harvey Elliott and Oxlade-Chamberlain all of a sudden has gone down back to that point where You're running the risk of putting Ox in, and you know he needs a bit of time to get up to speed. So you're actually making your team worse the longer you leave Ox out and then drop him back in again.
Yeah, totally. But where we are will dictate the personnel that come into the game. And if they've sat and watched the video of the home game, and I referenced it earlier on in the show, we didn't control the midfield at all on the day, or not particularly well anyway, in large periods. So we might see 60-30, like you say, and you say it quite a bit, and it's true. We might see the three usual suspects for 60 minutes, and then Jones is playing well, but Jones needs to play on the left. He needs to play in the position that Thiago's been playing in.
Yeah.
So for me, that's an easy decision to 60-30 those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henderson, Elliott on the other side. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain probably is maybe behind Jones, Keita and Elliott at the moment, which makes life difficult for him. And that's purely because of the size and the quality of the squad we've got. In another team in the Premier League, he plays every week.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one, but I think personally, when we do the teams, we'll talk about it. I think controlling the game is paramount.
Yeah, and it's... I wonder whether there'll come a point when we really hit the business end where it just goes back to the type of just playing 12 or 13 players every single week. But again, at this point, much like we're saying about the right to get into those big games, we're kind of earning that right to have your best players strong come the back end of the season. But I do think that plays into the disjointed stuff a bit, Dad, is that we're changing a lot. We're making more changes than we've done to the deliberately changes.
I think this is the season where Klopp has rotated a lot more. And basically, he's got a better squad now, so we can afford to do it. But, I mean, we've got a cup tie next weekend, and I can't see him playing his top 11 in that game. So
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's where players will get a rest if they need it. But, you know, you've got players like Matip and Thiago who've got injury clouds hanging over them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they're the kind of guys who maybe we'll play one a week rather than two.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one for me nailed on for a start against Brighton in midfield is Henderson.
Yeah,
I think he's absolutely nailed on to play. I'm not sure whether he arrests Fabinho or not, but I do think he arrests Thiago because for that reason, it's one game a week for him.
I think the fact that Thiago starts against Inter Milan is an important factor in this. You haven't come back from injury, is that you needed to get him in. You know how important he is, clearly. He wants to get him up to speed.
He was terrific, wasn't he?
And I think because he'll want him to play against Arsenal, you're not going to bring him in for Brighton and then expect him to go a few days later on, having come straight back from injury. So I agree. It seems likely Thiago would drop out for this one. I mean, the good thing is Naby Keita, you can bring Curtis Jones in or whatever. But I agree on that. I think Henderson is absolutely nailed on. And it's then that case of, I think the Forest stuff is useful, isn't it, Steve? Because it means that you can pretty much go with the Inter Milan team again against Arsenal, maybe with one or two slight tweaks. And this game is about still putting out the best team you can to beat Brighton, but it's not going to be as strong, in inverted commas, a team as we saw in midweek. I don't think all we're going to see at the Emirates next week.
Such as the squad options, they might already have two team sheets and go, right, Nottingham Forest, pencil those guys in as long as they fit. That's the team. Put that there, don't worry about it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. In terms of the league, let's see what's left. And you're right, I don't think Thiago, if you look at since the Chelsea Cup final, we played 4 games in 9 days or 8 days, which is a lot to ask, especially if, as John quite rightly references, there are some injury concerns historically with Matip and more recently with Thiago. So there is the scope to change it, and Curtis Jones is more than an able deputy to come in and play on the left side of central midfield, because he carries the ball and he asks questions and he's a progressive player and he looks forward, and I really like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the permutations are huge at the moment, and we often find ourselves sitting here trying to second guess what Klopp's going to do, and invariably we get it wrong. But it's good conversation, it's good to talk about, good to try and understand it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. We're having to redefine what our understanding of how Jürgen Klopp manages and how he manages a squad, because we do know that he always liked to rotate his midfield three when he had maybe like four, maybe five at best options. We've never seen this before, where there's lads who are good enough to play for 18 of the Premier League teams who can't even make match day squads at this point. But that's a very interesting challenge, and it does make the discussion quite interesting, because I think we could all make a strong case for a completely different midfield three each.
Absolutely.
For this,
I mean,
one
Henderson I think is nailed on simply because he didn't play to begin with the other night, but if you look at the impact he had when he came on and the way it freed up Trent to get more across the halfway line and become dangerous, there's an argument that tactically he's pretty essential to the team now, Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, as well, even though he's quite maligned still by a lot of people.
Yeah, and to be fair, depending where we play him, of course, I like Jordan Henderson as a six. I do. I know we hold Fabinho up there because he's just perfection in that role, but Henderson has a different style to it. He does a lot of the things just as well. I think he's got a better range of passing. He's a bit more mobile than Fabinho, which is not to say Fabinho's not mobile, just that Henderson's a bit more mobile. And this isn't exclusively true because of it kind of implies that Fabinho's just this sort of stopper, but I do feel like if we're playing in a game where we're expected to have loads of the ball but be the dominant team and be the dominant footballing team, and they're not a physical, brutish lot, Henderson in the six is a good idea, because it gives you that opportunity to then put Jones, Thiago, Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Harvey Elliott in front of them. Not all of them, obviously, but a selection from there. And then you've actually got, you're playing three eights, or you're playing two eights and a 10 in your midfield, as opposed to a six and two eights, or two sixes and an eight, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, he could allow us to do a little bit more.
And he's arguably the best organiser of our midfield in terms of the communication side of it, because when we struggled and all those players got injured, and I watched the back four, Fabinho didn't talk a lot, whereas Henderson speaks all the time.
Yeah.
So if you're going to play Curtis Jones and you're going to develop Curtis Jones, to have Henderson sitting behind him saying, you should be there, you should be there, you should be here, you should do this, you should do that.
Yeah.
It's part of his development, isn't it?
Yeah. I asked the question, who started midfield for you versus Brighton, into our Club Legend Discord chat. Scott T said, Thiago, Fabinho, Hendo. Bring on Harvey/Curtis if needed. Yeah, you know, I can definitely see that. I mean, again, good buzz down to the three subs thing and what else we're looking to do around the pitch. If Bobby's going to play, then you know, you can't see a world where Firmino comes in and does a straight 90 minutes. No. So you're looking at one at least for the front three. And if Bobby's starting, it means, you know, you then only got two spaces to pick from Salah, Mane, Diaz and Jota. So you want at least one of them coming into the game. So there's one to two. You know, you're starting to use subs before you've even started to rotate your midfield options.
I mean, I think Bobby will be on the bench rather than play myself. Yeah. And I think the question mark is it Jota or Diaz who plays? I mean, I quite like Mane as a centre forward rather than out wide at the moment.
Yeah.
So then Diaz obviously will slot in much better on the left than Jota. But I don't know. It could be any of...
Wealth any of riches, them. Wealth of options, wealth of stresses.
The big thing for me is that teams clearly put three men on Salah to stop him. Try to stop him, doesn't know his work, as we've seen. But I don't see Brighton doing that consistently.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Salah's going to be the man at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to know what your 11s are. Let me know in the comments section. Again, Club Legends, use the Discord chat. We will be discussing our 11s. We'll be looking at the other Premier League fixtures and what that maybe means in the wider sense for the league, and of course getting through your comments and stuff after another very short break.
Hey guys, how would you like to get your hands on this amazing prize? It's a framed signed shirt from two icons of Liverpool Football Club. European Cup winner Bruce Grobbelaar and former LFC manager Roy Evans have signed this amazing shirt for us. All you need to do to get your hands on this or being with a chance of getting your hands on this is be a Redmen Plus Club Legends subscriber. Each and every month we give away an amazing prize to one of our club legends. We've already given away a signed Jordan Henderson print and a frame signed shirt by two icons of Liverpool Football Club, Ronnie Whelan and Steve McMahon. So head on over to the RedmenTV.com right now and become a Club Legend subscriber on Redmen Plus.
Hey, all you wonderful Redmen Plus subscribers, you guys are awesome. And you know what else is awesome? We've got an incredible deal that we've just managed to get across the line with director and oft Redmen star Jay Pearson for his brand new documentary, The Story of a Crew. Jay, as you all know, is obsessed with Liverpool's A Crew kit from the 90s in the best possible way, and he got a wide-ranging load of contributors to talk about the origins and the history around it and beyond. People who work for Wade Smith, who work for Reebok, Peter Moore, former Liverpool CEO, who worked at Reebok at the time, spoke to him, and a whole host more. Go beyond the kit itself into the story. The trailer will be dropping this Friday, so keep your eyes peeled for that, and then the full documentary will be coming in the international break. Just wanted to keep you updated with all that. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, make sure you check it out when it drops on Redmen Plus. On with the show. Yes, loads of boss things are coming up on Redmen Plus. The Crew stuff, we're really proud of that. Jay Pearson has done an astonishing job. It's our first like outside production, as it were. Jay Keynes was with this. We all know anyone who follows Jay will know that he adores A Crew and all things around it. So he's gone and made the definitive documentary trailer. The full trailer will be dropping on Friday on our socials, so stay tuned and keep your eyes peeled for all that good stuff as well. And then, yeah, international break week, that will be streaming exclusively on Redmen Plus. Funny, the point was made the other day about like it's a thing about a kit and how much can you possibly talk or know about it, but it's so iconic, and there's actually so many fascinating little stories behind it. The people who were kind of who into it, and the decision making, and you know, there's people involved like Wade Smith at the time, people outside the club who had a really strong influence on the fashion and what that meant for it, and then what that meant for the kit scene and what have you moving forward. Really, really, really good stuff. But anyway, yeah, trailer to follow on Friday, and of course, get involved with that Club Legend competition right now. Every month we've got an amazing prize to be given away. We've had a spate of signed things. So if you join up at Redmen Plus and you do the top tier, which is Club Legends, you get access to Discord, you get free and discounted merchandise as well, and you get entered into the draw for those incredible monthly competition prizes and all. Right, sounds. What is your 11 for this one, Dad?
It's really tough.
It is.
I'm going with Alisson, Trent, Konate, Virgil van Dijk and Tsimikas. And my midfield's going to be Fabinho, Henderson and Jones.
Okay.
And my front three is Salah, Mane and Diaz.
Sound? Okay. Steve?
Ali in goal, obviously. Trent picks himself for me. I think he'll go with Matip and van Dijk.
Okay.
It'll be a game where Matip can join in a little bit for me in terms of, because I don't offer much up front, really, really. Could be famous last words, but we've said that before. Maybe Robbo. I agree with the same midfield as John, as your dad. I think that will be what we start with. And also go with the same front three. So some of it's quite easy to do and some of it's not, but I think it's an away game against a difficult side that will pose us questions. And we need to impose what we do well, and I think the usual suspects do that for me.
I like the Konate shout, actually, because in my head I'm trying to, I know, again, we always do this, like Klopp talks about one game at a time, but also he also gets handed a spreadsheet with like information about what he can and can't use in terms of footballers, and there's guys around him who future plan. And I look at the Arsenal game and I'm trying to work out what centre-half I want for that, and I think what Arsenal have got is that youth and pace and creativity and abundance. And my initial thought was, well, you'd have Konate for that because he's faster. But I also thought us playing a rock solid, rock steady offside trap is going to be essential to shutting down what they do. And the understanding with Robbo, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent for that one is the Arsenal game.
They don't have a centre forward as such.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult for a centre half.
Yeah.
You know, so you need someone who's got a little bit of nous.
And exactly. Yeah. So that's why I think it'll be Konate at the weekend. And I mean, Matip definitely
I've said
for
on
Arsenal.
Here, and I've said it to everyone who listened, that you don't change your centre backs ever if you don't need to. But the way that he's switched Matip and Konate all season, there isn't really a drop off, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
So he can do either one, play either one. Yeah. I just think Matip, I worry about him.
Yeah.
You know, because he missed so much football since he arrived at the club. That if you've got a chance to give him a rest, then do.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point, you've got Forest at the next weekend, haven't you? Which is that will be penciled in for a rest for a lot of the. Like, Virgil van Dijk's not going to play that game. Salah's not going to play that game. Fabinho's not going to play that game, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, maybe there is a case where he might actually, just to caveat all this before, and be a bit of cowardice in picking my team here, he might. Don't be shocked, actually, if he goes dead strong for this and almost picks the same team again.
Yeah, well, he always says if you've got 4 days in between, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
so.
And the early kickoff on Saturday, this is as well, so that does benefit us a little bit. But I would go, I would bring Konate in. The Tsimikas shout's interesting, but I think he'll go Robbo again and again, and then Tsimikas definitely starts against Forest. Midfield, I believe it'll be Henderson. I think it will be Elliot and Keita.
Wow.
Whoa.
That worries me.
Just going for it. I think the front three, I think it will be Bobby. I think it will be Jota, Firmino, Salah for this. I think he needs the option of Firmino sooner rather than later. And again, he's got such a great record against Arsenal, and just making sure that he's as right for that as possible. But also there is a degree to which I quite agree with both of your teams, and maybe I'm just doing it to be different. Let us know your 11s.
Let's hope the clock doesn't do that.
The club legends have been putting their 11s in. Scotty's gone Ali, Trent, Verge, Matip, Robbo, Fab, Thiago, Hendo, Mo, Bobby, Diaz, Jono, Costas, Virgil, Konate, Trent, Fabinho, Thiago, Hendo again, Mane, Mo, Mane, Diaz, and similar. Nate Saroon here has put Konate in at centre half, and he's kept Jones in the midfield with Fabinho and Hendo, so he played well against Inter. And again, Diaz, Mane, Mohamed Salah up front as well. And yeah, thank you to all those guys who've sent their suggestions in for that. Let's have another little look then at what's going on around the Premier League. There's games, we're recording this Thursday, there's a couple of games still to be played. They are today, Thursday, so Leeds are playing Villa, Southampton are playing Newcastle, and Norwich host Chelsea / Norwich hosting a beating is a good way to look at that. Heading to the weekend then, obviously we play first, which is another really, really good thing. And City actually play last on the weekend. They play Monday night against Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. Now Palace,
bogey club.
And again, this has become the segment of the show, Dad, where we discuss hypothetical situations in which Man City might slip up. No expectations on this whatsoever, but Palace have done a number
probably
of them already.
Have the best record against City than any club in the Premiership.
Yeah,
because they beat them.
Yeah,
it's not very many teams do that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit of hope in that, isn't there, Steve?
Went into the season thinking, you know, they did a sack race thing, don't they? And I thought, can it work for Vieira? It absolutely has.
I put money on them to go down this season.
And he's proved us all wrong. Credit to him. They are ultra brave. Mm-hmm. And I've often said against City, if you're brave, you get the opportunity to get something. It's a free hit. They're safe. They're not going anywhere. They're in the Premier League next year, barring a total collapse and a disaster. So why not tell the lads to go out and enjoy themselves and express themselves and play with a bit of freedom? In Zaha, and I think it's Elise, I think how you say it, that they're going to ask questions of City's back three or four, and no Diaz because of the muscle injury. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
why not?
We're clutching, but we'll keep doing it, won't we?
We saw it with Palace. You know, they're very intelligent running, put us under problems there. You know, effectively putting two up top at one point and breaking our defensive line, breaking the offside trap, causing us issues. Because you're right, they've got pace. They've not just got pace to burn. They've actually got pace in reserve as well. You know, they've got a squad point where they can bring in a couple of extra lads, not necessarily stellar quality, but bring those tireless attributes that are the kind of thing that
athletes.
Which is a bit of an oversimplification, of course, but that was the thing we saw against them. We handled them to a point, but then if you can bring fresh legs on at the 60-70 minute mark who can carry on doing that, and you've kept your back four on for the full 90, then Liverpool do it against teams all the time. Hopefully Palace can do the same.
That's Palace's thing, isn't it? Defensively they're not brilliant, but they're much better in the opponent's half. So if I'm a Palace fan, I want to see us go and try and bully City a bit, because you can do that. So I'm going to go there and I want to see him have a go.
And as well, this thing, if you can keep City out for 45, that's your best chance. Yeah. And moreover, if you can land a blow in that time, and we saw that stat at the weekend they were playing Man United, that they hadn't dropped a single point from once they'd gone ahead in a football match, and up until the point there was that stat where Laporte and Stones hadn't lost the game or conceded a goal in X amount of time, and then mercifully Man United did it. So hopefully there's a bit of blood in the water, and you're right, the Palace thing is, it's a bit of a free hit. You get a chance as Vieira to go and put a bit of a marker down, really buy your fans into your project. Hopefully it can be a difficult place to go sell it. 4-0 Man City. but we all live in hope, don't we? But again, it's another weekend where Liverpool play first, and that's all that matters. Go get Brighton done, and then they're going, oh God, the gap has been shortened. They've had all weekend to stew on it, and then they go to Selhurst Park knowing the best case scenario is they can take it back out to six points again, and Liverpool are going to be playing again.
Well, the beauty is they're under pressure now. Every time they play after us, if we win, they know that we're getting closer. Yeah. And of course, all the papers are full of the quadruples on. Yeah. No one's talking about their possible treble.
Well, there was all talk about that. It was the lowest viewed Champions League game for it. We had an English side in the last 16 or something, the Sporting, and understandably so. PSG were playing Real Madrid, I think everyone was more bothered about that one. People don't care about Man City in the same way, which is funny because we dedicate a segment to them literally every single one of these shows. We do, because they're relevant to us, but in the wider footballing sphere, I like those things. I like playing into the psychology of that, because Pep Guardiola hates that. He hates the fact that he doesn't get held up and lauded for the magnificence of himself and everything he's done.
Yeah, but I think City are heading a bit towards what Barca became, which is boring as hell.
A
great side, beating people, but he didn't want to watch the boring. Yeah.
Well, no, because you expect the results expected. Football needs drama, and Man City don't have drama. There is no drama to that. I often refer to it as like you're 10 seasons in on your footy manager save, and you've got all the best squad, you've got all the money in your top, and you just press and continue to get through it. Or when you cheat and it's fun for a season or two and you can buy everyone you want, but after a while, again, if there's no the climbs half the thing, and staying on top of the mountain in interesting ways, and anyway
they'll get beat.
Go ahead. I'm here for that. I
think Palace do have the whammy on them, and they'll give them trouble.
I certainly hope so. And you're right. But we said this the other week about the Man United thing. City don't lose the games you expect them to struggle in. Mm. And so maybe that's actually a double-edged sword here to some extent. But the point is, they should walk all over Crystal Palace. Because if we're talking about how we should go and get something against Brighton away, well, Brighton and Crystal Palace are on exactly the same points in the Premier League right now, and Palace have actually played a game more. So, Brighton are technically as good as, if not better than these. Hope
the Palace fire. They've got a front line.
They can score goals, can't they, Palace?
Exactly.
Yeah. In terms of the other Premier League fixtures, just of anything of mild note for us, Everton Wolves... I feel a bit. Everton are in a world of trouble here, aren't they?
Sorry for Everton. They'll get beaten there.
It's a Goodison. My sneaky feeling is Everton will stay up, because I think they'll win
most
of their games at home. But they don't. But
that game's huge, because if Wolves are quite capable of it, even a 0-0 doesn't help Everton. And Wolves are very capable, but they're not in great form at the moment themselves. So if they lose that one at home, Their writing really is on the wall, isn't
it? Yeah, United Tottenham, Saturday half five, has got all the hallmarks of handing the keys to the top four to Arsenal, with them both cutting each other's throats in this one. You know, no one really truly wins in that regard. Chelsea, Newcastle, it'd be quite funny if Newcastle were to continue their good run of form in that one. You know, like now that Chelsea are potentially in the mud and Newcastle are the rich boys, this could be seen as like that.
The handover of the keys.
Changing of the guards,
to the
kind of.
Treasure chest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Villa, West Ham. Yeah. Again, another one for the top four race and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, anyway, yeah, all eyes will, of course, be on Liverpool. And then on Monday night, I'm very much looking forward to forgetting that Palace play City on Monday and having the WhatsApps groups light up in the final 5 minutes when it's either level or City are behind. Yeah. That's the world I live for. After Liverpool wins, obviously. And of course, if you want to get a little bit closer to this game, of course, if you're not aware of this, we now have access to Jurgen Klopp pre and post match press conferences. Press conference will be Friday, so stay tuned to the YouTube channel and, of course, whatever your podcasting services are, because we put them out for free on there. So keep your eyes peeled on all that good stuff. And post match as well, we've added that to what we do. And don't forget as well that we've got some amazing stuff for you guys over on Red Men Plus. Again, I'm going to be talking to Neil Jones in a couple of hours' time to get the latest on the Abramovich sanctions and what that means for Chelsea Football Club and, by and large, what that means for the Premier League. And, of course, what that means for us. So if you want to get some more insightful analysis on that, then come and join me over on there. The debate show was great this week as well. We had a good old chat about whether Klopp stays beyond 2024. Do we actually want Everton to get relegated? Do you want Everton to get relegated?
No.
I'm not bothered.
There you go, full depth of feelings on that. But yeah, we had a good old chat about that and the incredible would you rather win the league if it meant City winning the Champions League, or would you rather win the Champions League if it meant City winning the league? Really, really good show, all streaming exclusively over on Red Men Plus, so do get yourselves over there to check that out. Before we do wrap up though, I want a score prediction.
3-0.
That'd be lovely.
2-0.
Just whatever it takes to have a reasonably stress-free afternoon would be great. That sounds. Liam Bento has been a member for 14 months as a wonder kid on YouTube. Sent a comment in, by the way. It said, with Madrid going through last night, we could have an extra opportunity to extend our revenge tour 2021-2022. This fills a lot of my waking moments. This, I am bang up for Real Madrid at any point in this competition this season. I think City battered them. And I think Chelsea probably beat them if they get them. So I don't think we get them in a final. So I would be more than happy to take on Real Madrid. That would be very, very nice indeed. Yeah, let us know. We'll be doing a live show next Friday, actually, for the Champions League draw. So, if you haven't already subscribed on YouTube and clicked that notification bell, then do just that. If you're listening on podcasting services, give us a 5-star review. Leave a little review if you would as well. That's always really good and definitely helps the podcasts grow and all that good stuff. And again, if you want more from us, why would you not want more from us? We're great. We've got more studio shows and, of course, documentaries, features, interviews and podcasts for your face and ears over on Red Men Plus. Right, sound. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful stuff. Hopefully Liverpool can smash Brighton everywhere and put the pressure on Man City, smash Arsenal, and then smash everyone and win the quadruple. That'd be great, right? Yeah, bye.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there. Especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.